Hello, David Deger Hernandez here. You're listening to the Encounter Podcast featuring my newest sermons and teachings. Be sure to visit the ministry website, www.davidhernandezministries.com, and remember, nothing is impossible with God. I'm excited to minister tonight because I really do believe that God wants to do some supernatural things in front of our very eyes tonight. And I'm believing that as the presence of the Holy Spirit begins to descend in this room and manifest in a new and fresh way, that some of you are going to experience God in a way that you have never experienced Him before in your life. And I'm believing, how many of you, by showing, you say, I want to go deeper tonight. Take me deeper, Lord. Well, we're going to talk about becoming carriers of the glory tonight. Tonight, I want to talk to you about how to host, carry the glory, the manifest presence, the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, the scripture talks about the Holy Spirit, and He was present from the very beginning. We know that 1 John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, but did you know that the scripture says that the Spirit of God hovered above the waters and He brooded, the scripture says, like a dove. Hovered, that's the Hebrew word brooded, like a dove would. And the Holy Spirit was the one who was present at the moment of creation when God spoke all of existence with one word. The Holy Spirit was the one who was present during the flood and He helped God speak to Noah. The Holy Spirit was the one who was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and manifested the Son of the living God before the eyes of the king when he looked into the fire and said, I see a fourth man who looks like the Son of God. The Holy Spirit was the one with Moses in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit was with Joshua. The Holy Spirit was the wind and the fire and the presence and the manifestations that talked to the prophets of the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was the one who helped transition us from the old covenant to a new covenant by awesome power, taking all of the infinite God and crafting Him into the perfect and the beautiful and the magnificent image of the Son of Jesus. We're talking about the Holy Spirit who took eternal God and made Him a man. Come on. That's power. Yeah. We're talking about the Holy Spirit who casts out devils. Jesus said He admits that His power to cast out devils comes from the Holy Spirit. Remember when the Pharisees, they confronted Him and they said, well, you're casting out devils because you're, you know, with the kingdom of darkness. He says, no, but if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out devils, in the kingdom of God is at hand. The Holy Spirit was the one who helped Jesus heal the sick. I'll tell you, without the Holy Spirit, Jesus could not have performed one miracle. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says how Jesus was anointed of the Holy Spirit and then went about doing good, casting out devils, healing all who were sick, and taking the bondage off of the oppressed. The Holy Spirit is the one who took the Word and breathed it into existence by inspiring into the hearts of men who would hear God. The Holy Spirit is the one who helped this Word survive years of persecution and tyranny and the idea of men trying to corrupt and to take out the Word because they did not love the truth. The Holy Spirit is the one who was with the apostles in the early church. The Holy Spirit was the one who took the legs of cripples and caused them to become strong to where they could walk. The Holy Spirit was the one who filled the early church with power to where they spoke in tongues and the fire of God manifested. The Holy Spirit was the one who caused Jesus to appear before Paul the apostle and his eyes became like scales. And then the Holy Spirit was the one who worked through Ananias to remove those scales and caused him to see. The Holy Spirit takes lives and transforms them, takes bondages and breaks it, takes sickness and heals it, takes devils and crushes them. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who lives in you. Yes. It's the same Holy Spirit. Come on. Yes. You see, people say, I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of God. I need more of His presence. No, you do not. The Holy Spirit does not come in portions, for the eternal cannot be divided. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit in the fullness of all He was, is, and ever will be came to dwell in you. The Holy Spirit, the scripture says, was the one who raised Jesus from the dead. For it says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Come on. We're talking about the only surviving witness to all of the biblical events is here on earth with you today. He's the one who takes the Word and causes the biography of the living God to become a person before your very eyes. He makes Jesus real. That's right. I'm talking about the glory of God. resting on your life to such a degree that when you walk into rooms, the atmosphere changes. That when you walk into a room, demons have to go. Everything I'm going to say tonight, I say to the glory of God. I'm only telling you of what I've tasted. Church, there's been times where I've walked into rooms and people just got healed. They didn't even know who I was.
Come on. Come on.
And sickness would jump off of their body. We talk about the laying on of hands, and I'm all for it. I've already told you. We know that James chapter 5, verse 15, Mark chapter 16, verse 18 through 20 tells us that the laying on of hands is absolutely biblical. But I found that healing manifests the moment that the healing presence of Jesus becomes real. When Jesus becomes more real than your sickness, it's done in your body. And Jesus only becomes real by the Holy Spirit. I remember when I first began to seek the presence of God, and there was such a hunger in me, and I said, Lord, I want to know you. I want you to consume all that I am. I thought of that scripture in John chapter 3, verse 30, where it says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Paul the Apostle says, I die daily. Some of you have to die a million deaths a day. But when you die, church, when you die, he is resurrected within you. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about goosebumps and superstition. I know people who are superstitious and they have no power. I'm not talking about powerless superstition. I'm talking about Jesus himself resting upon your life with such tangible and vivid and intense reality that you carry him with you wherever you go. That you begin to disappear and people see less of you and more of him. That the presence of Jesus can rest so heavily. You know, I read of scriptures and I see God moving, but I'm even more encouraged when I read of church history and hear of amazing stories. Because when you hear of these stories, the Bible, sometimes it can become somewhat disconnected, and people will call me a heretic to say that you could be just as anointed as the apostles. People say, oh no, that can't be. But it's true. They're just men.
It's true. It's true.
That's right.
Okay, you know what? We'll move on to the stories. This is why I talk about history. Smith Wigglesworth. Don't laugh at the name, I know. Smith Wigglesworth was a man so anointed by God that 21 people documented were raised from the dead during his ministry. Raised from the dead. And I remember of a story where a woman had been hosting him for a revival, and she had been praying for her husband to get saved. And she said, Lord, you know, this man is just, he's stubborn, he's hard-hearted. Some of you women are nodding like this. But she was believing God for her husband to come to know Jesus. And he was one of those guys, the story goes, that was just resistant to the idea of even stepping foot into church. You know, he'd rather stay home and relax. You know what I'm talking about? And so he was just stubborn. And the wife went to a revival with Smith Wigglesworth, and she found out that the church was looking for a house to host Smith Wigglesworth. She said, come stay at my house. And what she did is she moved her and her husband to the couch. He wasn't happy about it. And Smith Wigglesworth slept in their bed. And she fed him. He would go, and they would take him to the church. The husband, of course, wouldn't go. And as Smith Wigglesworth is leaving her house, he starts walking out the door. She says, wait, I want you to believe for my husband to come to know Jesus. Without even missing a step, the story goes that he just didn't even talk to her. He just says, don't change the sheets. And he keeps walking. When that man went to sleep on that sheet, they said night after night after night, he would wake up in a fearful dread full of sweat because he had a dream about hell. And he would wake up every night and he'd be shaken from the dream. And when he woke up, he said, I've got to give my heart to Jesus. That man got saved and went into the ministry. He carried the presence of the Holy Spirit with him. I read of stories like Miss Catherine Coleman. Did you know that at her meetings, her team didn't even have to ask when she was there? This was before cell phones. They would know when she got there because the whole building, they said like a cloud would come rest on the building. And people would know the moment she walked in because the atmosphere would shift when she walked into the room. They said that when she would go to the back, you know, like the ballrooms at hotels, she would move through the back through the kitchen. And as she's walking through the kitchen, the chefs, the cooks, and the staff would fall out under the power. I was with a man of God who, if I said his name, you'd know him, but I won't say his name. My first time meeting this man of God. And he's one of the ones who really taught me to carry the presence in the way I do. And I remember I walked into his office, and he's talking to the man who was introducing us. And this guy's like, oh, you got to meet this young man. And he's just talking about something else, and they're carrying on their conversation. And he turns, and I remember he's just the kindest, gentlest old man, just as sweet as can be. And as soon as he grabbed my hand, it's like he just changed, flipped. His whole countenance changed. And this fierce anointing came on him. And he said, and the guy was talking, he goes, shh, 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 the anointing is here. And he grabbed my hands and pulled me forward. All I remember is minutes later being up on the ground looking up, and I didn't even know what happened. I look around the room. Everyone around his office is on the floor trembling in tears. You talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about being so spiritual. Spirituality is not hype. It's not performance. It's not being able to look spiritual and act dramatic. Let me tell you something. When it comes to the power of God, and I've said this before, when it comes to the power of God, sadly, it can be faked. Come on. Let's just be honest. I could pay somebody to come in a wheelchair and then walk out rejoicing. People have done it. Power can be faked. Emotion can be stirred. I can get people excited. Come on, jump up and down. If I wanted to, we could just go off that. I'd have a nice service. I'd call it a night. Good night, everybody. You can fake power. You can fake emotion and hype. But you cannot fake the presence of the Holy Spirit. Either you carry it or you don't. I mean, I remember I was watching these two different people speaking. They're two different preachers. And it was one of those conferences where they're just doing shotgun preachers. I remember one guy, he got up, he was just so eloquent, and he had all the right words, he had the right study. And I remember thinking, my goodness, there's no power on this guy. Mm. I didn't say it, I don't gossip like that. I just, in my mind, I'm thinking, there's nothing here. And I'm not looking for a show every service. You can just tell when they carry the presence. And I said, there's just something, he's just missing something. And this one guy gets up, and he's fumbling over his notes, and he can't get a word out, but the anointing was so heavy on him that his altar was packed when the other guy's wasn't. It's the difference. I was telling Willie on the way over here. I said, every time I preach now, I just start getting a little antsy. You'd think that by now I'd have it all figured, right? And I do a good job of pretending like I'm very confident getting up before you. But can I just tell you something? I'm praying. I said, Lord, I have nothing for these people if you don't show up. I said, there's all these people coming, God. And they told them this guy's gifted in this and that. And I said, and you know you're the source. Yeah. you see me, Lord. I'm frail. If you were to sit and have lunch with me, you'd go, oh, he's just like me. Until you get on the platform with me, when the anointing hits, it's different. And I said, Lord, I don't have anything to offer. These are your people. I love them. I studied. I prepared. But if you don't set a fire on this service, I have nothing to offer them. Come on. And I said, Lord, all I can do is lead them to your presence. All I can do is lead them to the fountain of water, of living water. The scripture says in Psalms, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee. Hallelujah. Everything within me, Lord, wants to drink. And I remember I said at the beginning of when I first started seeking the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm reading of these people. I'm seeing all these stories. I'm hearing of what you can do. And everything in me longs, Lord. Everything in me desires to disappear. And you just take the forefront. You just become the one who walks around. That's what the scripture really is. You know you believe in reincarnation? Yeah, I do. Don't throw me out yet. The incarnation of the Son of God, he came in the first time. He goes back up to heaven, and by the Holy Spirit, he comes back, and Jesus is reincarnated in you. Amen. The Word becomes flesh. Yeah. And so I remember, I said, Lord, I'm going to seek you with all that I am. And I did one of those, what do you call them? Rob, when you say, no, I'm not either this or that, it's a ultimatum. Yeah, it wasn't very smart of me. I said, Lord, I'm not leaving this room. I said, I'm not going to eat. I wish I never said that. I said, I'm not going to sleep until I've got a hold of you. And you, let me tell you something. You'll just know it when you're there. That's all I can tell you, is you'll know it when you're there. There's this sweet, and sometimes I can smell it. There's this fragrance that comes on it. I can't, if you, how many of you have smelled that before? You can't really explain it. And every so often in a church service, and I'll go, Jesus is here. That's his scent. I can smell him. Oh yeah, I'm obsessed with Jesus, I'm telling you. I know what he smells like. And I said, Lord, I'm not leaving this room until you touch me. I don't care if it's just a little touch from you. Because I know one touch can transform me completely. Completely. And so I said, Lord, I'm going to seek you today. I'm going to pray. And I started praying. And the first hour I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying. And glory to God, nothing happened. I said, Lord, what's going on here? I mean, I mustered all of my emotion that I could. Every aggressive emotion that I had, I reached for it. Passion and ambition and desire and zeal. And I'm saying, Lord, and I'm seeking him. I'm trying to find him. And that hour goes by, nothing happened. And I said, okay, that's obviously not the way to do it. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to spend the next hour. I'm just going to just cry out to you from my heart. And every emotion I had, the sorrowful ones, you know, the whiny Christian ones. The Lord, if you don't touch me, I can't. Da, 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 da. And we're trying to manipulate him. But you see, it's kind of like a cell phone. Right now, my cell phone's broken. Long story. But anyway, you know, when I'm on the phone with somebody and the connection starts cutting, we start sound like this. Yeah. That's frustrating. The first thing they do is yell at me. And I say, excuse me, the problem is not the connection or the volume, it's the connection. This is what we do in prayer. We try to raise the volume of our emotion when we're not connecting.
Good work.
We try to say, God, and we pour it all out there, and there's nothing happening. It's dead. The heavens are brass. Lord, where are you? And I remember that whole hour, I'm crying, I'm praying, Lord, and I mean, tears are streaming down my face. Some were genuine, some were not. Some I had to think of, like, what if someone I love died? And I'm trying to really, I'm just being honest with you. I'm trying to exert every emotion I could, even the trying to guilt God into the response. You know what I'm talking about? Lord, if you don't do this, don't you see me? Don't you hear me? And he's watching you. Of course I do. And so finally, I ran out of tears. Aggression didn't work. Emotion, none of the emotions worked. So then I say, okay, you know what? I'm a smart guy. I'm going to start trying to figure my way out here. I said, what are the seven steps to this and the eight principles to that? I remember all those prayer conferences and those spiritual warfare conferences. And I'll tell you, I went into just like this rage of rebuking demons. I just was creating adjectives and attached demons to them. The spirit of loneliness, the spirit of patience, the impatience. I mean, anything I could think of, I'm rebuking things and I'm imagining them fleeing. And 3 hours, I'm not kidding, 3 hours go by and nothing happened. I was 11 years old, by the way. And I finally, the fourth hour comes, and I remember it was like I was drowning, and I just finally was just, I'll drown, you know. And I was starting to regret my ultimatum. I said, okay, I know I said I wouldn't go eat anything, but it's 3 hours, Lord. I do fast. I fast in between every meal. And so I said, Lord, the time has gone by. I'm trying to work my way here. And I just felt like I was just dying. And I gave up. And I promise you, if aggression can get you in, I would have been in. If intellect can get you in, I would have been in. If emotion can get you in, I would have been in. And finally, I surrender. I'm like on the floor. The carpet is literally drenched with tears. And my face is in a tear-drenched carpet. I'm lying on the floor. I said, Lord,
I give up. And I heard a voice say, good. And I realized in that moment that the key, I'm going to give you keys to get in right now. There are two keys. Silence and stillness. Let me tell you something about this culture we live in now. Everything is fast-paced. You want it now. And we want God handed to us in the same way everything else is. Silence and stillness. There we go. We're going to get some silence and stillness right now. God bless you, my brother. And so I remember silence is the putting away of outer distraction. It's turning off Facebook. Amen. It's turning off the computer. It's turning off all of the anything that's out there. Silence is easy. It's practical. I just put away everything and I shut myself in. Jesus said, when you pray, go to your Father who's in heaven, pray privately, and he'll reward you publicly. Private prayer is revealed in public power. And so silence is easy, but stillness is the battle. Stillness is the quieting of the soul, the inner man. To touch the glory of God. The glory is, I mean, let's not mystify it. It's not a portal. It's not a gold cloud filled with glitter, okay? Glory is the person of Jesus. The fullness of all that he is. And when Jesus becomes real, when the Holy Spirit makes Jesus real, when you finally stilled your heart, God the Father is the image. Jesus is the art, the paint. The Holy Spirit is the artist, and you are the canvas. And when you're still, and you're quiet, you can sense Jesus. I can feel him right now. There's something beginning to shift even as I'm talking about it. Jesus becomes real as the Holy Spirit begins to paint him. With every word, I mean, I had a whole lesson on the anointing here, but I'm going as the Holy Spirit leads. I mean, you know me, I usually teach very, I mean, I'll throw 100 scriptures at you, but today it's different. The Holy Spirit will take this word and everything that you read, he uses it as a detail on the image of Jesus. And as you're in this word, you begin to paint. Now, when you worship, as your hands are lifted, as your eyes are closed, as you silence the inner man, because let me tell you something, as soon as you get in here, you stand in, I mean, they're all, let me tell you, there's junk that goes through your mind. I mean, even in church, look at that hypocrite lifting his hands. Just the other day, I saw him in the parking lot. He took my seat, too. That foul. We do it. We do it, and then we don't allow the mind to settle. See, the world tells you meditation is emptying your mind. World says, empty your mind for meditation. Empty your mind. But the Spirit says, fill your mind with the Word and meditate on Jesus. Amen. On his Word doth I meditate day and night. King David was constantly thinking about Jesus. And so, in worship, as you behold Jesus, something happens. You know, there's that old song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. As you begin to focus on him, as you begin to look to Jesus, his image and your image become one. Jesus took on the worst of you that you might bear the best of him. And prayer is that exchange. Every moment in prayer, every moment in worship, every moment in the Word, every scripture you read is a step closer to God. Every song you sing from the heart is a step closer to God. Every prayer you pray, every moment you sit in silence to listen is a step closer to God, and don't you ever believe otherwise. It is impossible to accomplish nothing in prayer. Every moment you are praying, you are changing and transforming and growing. You may see it as subtle variations and they amount to you becoming more and more like Jesus. Carriers of the glory, carriers of the presence. And so after that moment I spent in the presence of God, let me tell you something. A moment spent in the presence of God will transform your life. But a life spent in the presence of God will transform the nations. God took me, that 11-year-old boy, and he raised me to a place where I look at it today, I go, God, and I kind of just relate with so many of the people in Scripture. Lord, sometimes I think you got the wrong guy. I know I look confident. That's all a public presentation for the sake of delivering the word with excellence. But let me tell you something. I'm broken before the Lord. I'm on my face before him every day saying, Lord, I can't do this without you. I really, 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 I need you. I feel like Jacob, Lord, I'm not going to let you go. Some of you just need to grab hold and hang on. Not until, Lord, I will not let you go. No. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I'm not letting you go. Speak. No. You speak to me, God. I love how King David prayed. He was so passionate. He wanted to hear from God so bad. He would say things like, Lord, hello, can you hear me? If you don't respond, what's everyone going to think of you? Because I'm your son. He tried anything and everything. God, I'm just going to grab hold of you, and I'm not going to let you go. Like the woman with the issue of blood who pushed to the ground and said, if I can just touch the hem, if I could just grab hold, if I could just, oh Lord, and once I get a hold of you, I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go. I will not let you go. Lift your hands, say, I will not let you go. I will not let you go, Jesus. Come on, ask him to change your nature. Ask him to touch your life. Say, Lord, I will not let you go until you touch me, until you bless me, until you transform me, Jesus. Lord, we're not going to let go. We want to be those who carry your glory. We want to bear your image, Father. I'm telling you, he's looking at you right now. Lift your hands, begin to pray. Come on. His eyes are on you right now. His eyes are upon you right in this very moment. Jesus, we give you the glory. Jesus, we give you glory. I don't know about you, but I got that hunger's being stirred in me. Lord, I will not let you go. I will not let you go. I will not let you go. I need your presence. I want your glory. I'll tell you, since that moment he touched me, that one touch has sustained me all this time. It's that same anointing. Lord, we give you the glory. Let people, you need to make an ultimatum with God right here, right now. Say, Lord, I'm not leaving here. Say it. Say, Lord, I'm not leaving here until you touch me, until you change me. Now lift your hands and pray in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. Hungry people are desperate people. And desperate people are not quiet people. Lord, remember, Prophet Rob, you talked about it this morning.
Yes, sir.
Jesus, thou son of David. Have mercy on me. Jesus, the son of David. And they said, quiet, quiet. He said, no, I have to get to Jesus. I've got to get to, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. They can call me crazy. They can call me bigoted. They can call me narrow-minded. I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Consider lending this ministry a helping hand by becoming a monthly supporter or by making a one-time donation. For ministry information or general correspondence, visit www.davidhernandezministries.com or call 888-740-1110. Be sure to follow me on Twitter @DigaHernandez. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast.